Rabbi Beryl Wein is a historian, a teacher of Torah, a lawyer, a columnist, and a popular Jerusalem lecturer. In the program Wein Online, he talks about the meaning of the Torah portion of the week. Rabbi Beryl Wein, we're back in the studio. What parsha are we talking about this week?
This week's parsha is Balak. The previous parshiot that I discussed dealt with internal problems within the Jewish people, and the story of the spies, the story of Korach. Here we're back to the good old days where our problems are external. And Balak, the king of Moab, engages the services of Bilaam to curse the Jewish people. It's, how shall I put it? Bilaam is the CNN of his day. He's a gun for hire, and he's willing to propagandize, curse anyone that hires him for any purpose. And Bilaam has long experience with the Jewish people. According to the Midrash, he was one of the advisors to the Pharaoh, and he was the one who advised him to enslave the Jewish people and try and get rid of them. So now Balak, really, on a matter that is not his, he is not in danger from the Jewish people. It's a war that is not his. Nevertheless, he engages in it. He wants to be the hero of the world to stop the Jewish people, to protect the Canaanites, to protect the land of Canaan, to abort the mission of the Jewish people in the world. And so he hires Bilaam. What happens is that Bilaam is not as independent an agent as he thought he was. God, so to speak, intervenes, and in intervening forces him to say more kindly words regarding the Jewish people than he intended to. However, the rabbis point out that any kind words, it depends who it comes from. You can understand the opposite meaning as well. Bilaam intended to curse us, even though his blessings come are the literal words. Behind that lies the curse. There's a story about two Jewish ladies who always fought with each other and cursed each other and couldn't get along with each other. And finally, the rabbi in town couldn't take it any longer. And the Erev Yom Kippur, the day before Yom Kippur, he calls them in. And he says, I don't want this to go on any longer. He said, from now on, anytime you want to say something to the other person, you should say only nice things, only blessings. And it's Erev Yom Kippur, and they're in front of the rabbi. They had really no choice, so they agreed. But walking home together after the Yom Kippur services at nightfall, one turns to the other and says, you know, Rivka, you should be blessed, but you know what I mean. Well, you know, that's the Bilaam is, you know, we know what he means. And we see that Bilaam lays the trap for the Jewish people. He gives the advice that the women of Midian should come and seduce the Jews, which they did. And tens of thousands of Jews, 24,000 Jews, are killed in the ensuing plague and war. Bilaam is a very, very, very dangerous adversary. More dangerous than Balak, because adversaries that pretend to be friends, people who curse through blessings, are far more dangerous and far more lethal. Bilaam, therefore, represents a genre of people that have been throughout Jewish history. People who, for one reason or another, create an atmosphere of animosity towards Jews, unfounded, not based upon anything. But they create this atmosphere, and they usually cloak the atmosphere in high-sounding intellectual or philosophical phrases, or even ideas and ideologues. And terrible things happen. So even though Bilaam never takes a sword to kill a Jew, he's responsible for Jewish slavery. He's responsible for tens of thousands of deaths of the Jewish people. And because of that, he is He is seen as an arch enemy, and we'll see later when the Jewish people conquer Midian, Bilam is killed. Bilam comes to his just desert, so to speak, simply because of the fact that he is he's the source of the trouble. You know, we deal now in the world, you know, there's a buzzword called incitement, in the Hebrew, hasata. Well, incitement is as dangerous as the bullet, because incitement is what creates the atmosphere that justifies the bullet or the bomb or the suicide bomber or everything else that goes on. And Bilam is the paradigm of such a behavior pattern of a person who is so negative and hateful. And because of the fact that he's the great Bilam and he has superb poetry and he speaks such a beautiful language, so he has influence, and that influence turns out to be very dangerous and very lethal. So the lesson of this week's parsha is that you have to watch out not just for Balak, who is openly against you and who masses armies, but you have to watch out for Bilam, for the power of the word, for the op-ed piece, for the commentary on the TV program, for everything that happens in the world, because of the fact that creates this incitement. And incitement almost always will lead to some sort of violent behavior as well. The Jewish people are should by now be well accustomed to this type of danger and somehow attempt to take preventive steps in order to counteract it. I would hope that that would be the case. Anyway, Bilam is gone. It is interesting, as a final note, that the Jewish people adopted Bilam's words, Matovu Alecha Yaakov Mishkanosecha Yisrael, how goodly are your tents, Jacob, your dwelling places, O Israel, as the first words that they utter when they enter the synagogue in the morning. So Bilam lives on with his blessing, even though he may not have meant it in the exact framework that they were used, that those words are used today.
The perfect example of taking lemons and turning it into lemonade.
Absolutely.
Rabbi, we're almost out of time. I have a quick question. The parsha is named after Balak. Why is it that Balak doesn't have a long shelf life in terms of the Jewish memory as opposed to Amalek? Weren't they both trying to do the same thing?
Yeah, but Balak is a one-time apparition, and Amalek keeps on showing up in the prophets, in the books of Yehoshua and Shoftim and Shmuel and Malachim. It's Amalek that keeps on showing up. So Amalek represents, Amalek was the first. You say Balak is a copycat. Amalek was the first one to attempt to destroy the Jewish people. So that's why Amalek has a longer shelf life, as you put it, than Balak.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Beryl Wine, on Parshat Balak.
You've been listening to Rabbi Beryl Wine talking about the Torah portion of the week. Join us again next week.